remain standing as we read the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. Let us hear this word of the Lord. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. Well, I'm going to tell you, between our opening with the disciples and with the children's lesson and this, if you go home from here and you don't know what Palm Sunday is, you've been sleeping. Palm Sunday. It's a glorious day. A day that was greatly misunderstood by the people. You know. First off, though, let me tell you. Growing up in Port View, Bonnie and I, we really enjoyed as kids going to the Fireman's Fair. Fireman's Fair, oh, it was so much fun. It was during the summer, and it was held down at Romine Avenue School. The ball field is where they parked all their ambulances and fire trucks, emergency vehicles, and behind the school on the playground were all the booths with the games and the food and all that. And there were just tons of people. It was always so crowded. And then during the week, I think it was Wednesday that they had the parade on? What day was the parade? Sunday? Friday. Okay, Friday. Anyways, we would get all excited about going down to the parade. I don't know, how many people here like parades? Like parades? They're a lot of fun, you know. It's Thanksgiving Day, I always get up a little early, watch Macy's Day Parade, and you go down and you'd get a seat on the curb, or else you bring a chair, and then you'd wait. And people would be running back and forth across the street, and you'd be waving to each other, and hey, you know, and you're just having so much fun. And then all of a sudden you'd hear that noise way off in the distance. And they're coming, here they come, oh, we get so excited. And they're coming down, and then you start to hear sirens and everything, you know. And then the marching bands, they come by you, and the fire trucks and the ambulances, and except, you know, when they get right next to you and they'd blow the whistle, just, you know, blow your ears out. But and then sometimes there were horses and clowns and the candy being thrown out. It was just love parades. A really good time. And then there's that parade always that we have in December or at the end of November, the Christmas parade. And at the end of that, who's the dignitary that we're all waiting to see? Santa Claus, yeah. Now, Jesus' parade when he was going into Jerusalem was not as extensive, as fancy as all this. But nonetheless, it was a big to-do. There were people lining the streets both sides. And they were shouting and hollering.
as they cut down branches to wave in the air and throw out on the road, taking off their coats, laying them out on the road. And there were a bunch of disciples in front of Jesus and behind him, all these followers. And Jesus was riding on the colt, the foal of a donkey, on the coats that they put on him. And they were all shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna in the highest heaven! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord!" And they're just shouting away, and people were like, "Who is this? Who is this? What's going on?" And more people were coming out. You know, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth, the one who raised the dead and healed the sick, who fed all those people, thousands of people, with just a few loaves of bread and a few fish. He fed all them people. And he walked on water, you know, and he's the one that's going around preaching good stuff and teaching people all about love. And they go, "Yeah, this is Jesus." And they're just waving them palm branches. They said, "He's coming to Jerusalem, and it's Passover week. He must be here to be king." They were expecting a king. They were expecting Jesus to declare himself for the throne. See, because the people knew from experience that whenever Israel got into a jam, and they were attacked by an enemy and oppressed, all they had to do was keep crying out to God, and God would raise up somebody, a judge, a mighty prophet, to lead them in rebellion and to kick out the intruders. And so for the most of the people were there worshiping Jesus, just praising him and shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna," because they figured with his power from God and everything, he would drive out the Roman rulers. And he would establish freedom once again in Israel. Oh, they were excited. Man, this is the day. This is the time. Jesus is here. And they didn't get it. And there was a real big clue. Jesus came riding in on a donkey, not on a horse, not on a war horse, a steed, a charger. He came in on a donkey. He wasn't the political king they thought he was. For years and years, I was involved in the Last Supper. We first got married, Bonnie and I. We were at this Glassport United Methodist Church, and they did a Last Supper ministry, much like you do here. They had the hard walls that they put up with the scenery painted on them, and they had spotlights, and we wore makeup and robes and a table set up to look all like Leonardo da Vinci's painting. And we would do that Last Supper portrayal. Well, over the years, it evolved. And we did away with the hardwood sides, and we got PVC pipe and made a frame all the way around the table and hung heavy drapes off of it. And then we attached floodlights to the PVC pipe inside the drapes. And then we were able to take it on the road. Now, it took a lot of work to put that frame together, but once it was all done and the spotlights were hung up there, we had them all on one switch. And so 7 o'clock at night, it was dark out, and we turn off all the lights in the church, whatever church we'd go to, and somebody would pull the curtains back, and then they'd hit that switch, and we'd all be in our pose. And when that light came on, you could hear the whole congregation go, "Oh," you know, just an audible gasp, "Wow," you know, and then we would go through our parts. And eventually, even that continued to grow and develop, and we did away with the PVC pipe and the curtain and the makeup, and we just used the tables. And we would put it on like 15 times a year, travel around to different churches, tri-state area. And it come all the way down to about 5 churches is the last thing we were doing. And I ended up playing a number of parts at the table. Well, I was doing this sermon, always thinking about what illustration can I use. What came to me was the part of Simon the Zealot. And if you look at Leonardo da Vinci's painting, all the way to the right on the end, the last disciple is Simon the Zealot. Now, the Zealots back in Jesus' day, they were just wacko people, crazy, fanatics. They were so passionate about everything. But his part, a few of his lines in his part really struck me. Let me tell you. I am Simon the Zealot. Some people call me Simon Zelotes. Before Jesus called me, I belonged to a group of hot-headed, bloodthirsty revolutionaries known as the Zealots. We were all for armed rebellion against Rome. We believed in crushing our enemies under our heels and establishing the ancient glory that was Israel's in the days of David and Solomon. But Jesus has told us about another kind of kingdom, the kingdom of the human heart, where God reigns supreme. Since he has told me, I have changed my mind and also my allegiance. He has shown us that the conquest of the human heart is the only true, lasting, and sincere conquest. So I have given him my deepest devotion and my highest loyalty. I have surrendered myself completely to him, to think his thoughts, to serve as he serves, to obey as he obeys, and to love those whom he loves. Oh, don't get me wrong now, this surrender has not imprisoned me, but rather it has set me free for the first time in my life. And I'm not afraid of Rome any longer. Oh, Rome is mighty, but God is almighty. And we will conquer Rome by outliving and outloving her in the name of the God whom Jesus has revealed unto us. Jesus, whom we all call our Lord and our Savior. There's more to it about the betrayal, but you'll have to come Tuesday and Thursday night to hear the rest. Kingdom of the human heart, where God reigns supreme. Jesus would say that later on in the week. He came in there on Palm Sunday and a triumphant entry into Jerusalem, which is the center of their worship, the Jewish worship. People would travel for days and weeks every year to get there for the festivals. And they would make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. It was the holy city. He came riding in on that Sunday, knowing that 5 days later he would be crucified. He came in there not as a political king, but as a king of the human heart. 5 days later, Pilate would say to him, "Are you a king?" And he would say, "My kingdom is not of this world." Because he's the king of the human heart. Your heart and mine. Our bodies represent Jerusalem. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, "Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God?" Do you not know that your bodies, mine, are the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in us and was given to us by God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Every Sunday, we have a parade as we gather together, coming down the roads, leaving our houses, getting into our cars, driving here. That's a parade for the world to see, a parade of the faithful gathering together to worship Jesus. And we gather together here in this place to lift high the name of Jesus, to cry out, "Hosanna," to cry out, "Praise the Lord," to cry out, "Lord, hear our prayers, Son of David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." See, 5 days, Jesus would reign supreme as king forever, king over sin, king of our lives. That's Palm Sunday, that parade into Jerusalem. That's what it was all about. He came to save us. I don't know about you, but if I knew I only had 5 days left to live, I'm not sure what I'd do. But Jesus was a man on a mission, riding on a donkey, on a colt of a donkey. Did it for you and me. So take your palm leaves home with you and make a cross out of them, hang them in your car, hang them in the house, and every time you see them, think, just stop and smell the roses and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done for me. And let the world know what Jesus has done for them. God loves you, and so do I.